soccer. It wasn't baseball. So I can't even remember
not having a football or not being a part of the game. It's like it's a part of my DNA. I remember taking a flight from Denver to Atlanta, and I had my Bible, and I guess I was trying to read it, you know, and there was this lady, she said, "Are you a Christian?" Why would she ask this? Like, isn't it obvious? But the way she asked in her facial expression made me really dig a little deeper. She saw, you know, how hesitant I was, and she said, "You know what? Just pray for clarity." So for 4 years, I began to pray for clarity every single day. I was in the most dysfunctional relationship, dysfunctional marriage ever. It was horrible. You have two people who really love each other, but my wife, you know, she just wasn't happy. I just thought a man was supposed to just provide. You know, I looked around and said, "You have a beautiful house, you have a roof over your head. You know, we can do anything we want when we want to do it. You know, why aren't you happy? We have money in our bank account." And I just couldn't get it. I thought that's what a man was. One day my wife came home, she said, "I'm going to church." And she's like, "Do you want to go?" I said, "No." So for a whole year, my wife would go to church with a friend. And I was so bitter. I was like, "Who is this person you're going to church with? You know, she doesn't know us. You know, you letting people in her business." That's how bitter I was. My wife was trying to do something really positive and change things for herself and us. And I'm sitting here worried about who she's going to church with. Dove into the Word. I was relentless in my praying. I was relentless in my meditating on the Word. At that moment, you know, I had friends come around and say, "Hey, you need to really sit down and talk to someone." You know, and I found myself at McLean Hospital for 3 months, away from my wife, away from my home. I took something up there to Boston, to Waltham, Massachusetts, that I don't think anyone else in those groups took with them, and that was Jesus Christ. Every single day, every single night, I got on my knees, and I just begged God for Him to give me clarity. Same prayer. After a month and a half being up there, you know, it was like, man, I'm feeling something I never felt before. God's revealing Himself to me in ways He never, you know, revealed Himself to me. I remember having worship in my car by myself, listening to praise music. It was like, this is amazing. Like, I'm driving down the highway with my hands up, like, what is this that I'm feeling? Like, I've been praying clarity for 4 years. I've been praying for the cycle to be broken for 4 years, and it's happened. She came over to tell me that she wasn't coming home. We never even got to that part of it. We just started talking and expressing ourselves and praying. She just felt something. She was like, this is a different man. And months later, that's when she finally told me something. I really was there to tell you that, you know, I wasn't coming home. You know, so I'm just so thankful that I had a praying wife, because I don't know where I would be. I was able to call my father and say, "Man, Dad, you know, man, we're in this cycle, but this is how we can fix it." A year later, he ended up giving his life to Christ. My brother gave his life to Christ. My mother gave her life to Christ. My sister gave her life to Christ. We're stuck in this cycle, but we're stuck in the cycle because we don't understand the root of it. For us, we figured out what the root of it was, and that was the absence of Jesus in our homes, and now He's the center of everything that we do.
So how would you have felt if you were sitting in an airplane, reading a Bible, and a complete stranger next to you says, "Are you a Christian?" And then says, "Pray for clarity." Somehow, that stranger on the plane understood that for Brandon to be a true follower of Jesus, he had to first of all see that he was in the darkness of unclarity before he could see clearly what it would mean for him when Jesus called, "Follow me." What Brandon experienced, the apostles experienced too. You see that in the gospel lesson that's appointed for today. The gospel lesson takes place in the very earliest part of Jesus' ministry. He's just been baptized, and in Matthew chapter 4, we're told, when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which is by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali. So Jesus began his ministry down on the Jordan River, just north of the Dead Sea, where he was baptized, and everything there seemed crystal clear. We know from John's gospel that Peter and Andrew were there for sure, and probably John and James as well. And they were all excited because they had found the Messiah, and they were ready to follow him. But then things started to get unclear for the apostles. You see, it says that when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. So rather than as the Messiah standing up to that tyrant Herod, he scurries for cover to the north. And then when he's in his hometown of Nazareth, his own countrymen don't accept him, and so he moves his base of operations to a little village called Capernaum on the Sea of Galilee. So is this the kind of guy that Peter and Andrew and James and John are supposed to follow? A coward? Somebody rejected by his own family? You can understand why they went back to fishing, right? They didn't understand that this was all part of God's plan. 700 years before, God had spoken through the prophet Isaiah, and Matthew records that prophecy. "Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." Galilee was a place of darkness. Galilee was a land in the shadow of death. Always had been, and it would seem always would be. You see, Galilee is the province to the far north in the promised land. And through it goes the way of the sea, which is the main caravan route, the main route that armies that were invading would take. And so when enemy armies came to attack Israel, Galilee always got the worst of it. In fact, it was so bad that it was called Galilee of the Gentiles, that the Gentiles were more prominent there than the Jews. But it was into this place of darkness that Jesus willingly went. He wasn't scurrying for cover. He understood that for us to truly appreciate the light, we first of all have to experience the darkness. And what was true for the apostles and the people of Galilee is true for us today. If we're going to hear Jesus call, "Follow me," we first of all have to step into a place of unclarity, a place of darkness. I say that with confidence because of the different places where the words "follow me" are found in Matthew's gospel. It's here, and then those words are found again in Matthew chapter 8. A teacher of the law comes and says to Jesus, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Another disciple said to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." You see, the call to follow me isn't like following somebody on Facebook or Twitter. When Jesus said, "Follow me," he was saying, "I want you to follow me exclusively and leave everything else behind." That becomes clearer the next time in Matthew that Jesus says, "Follow me." In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." If we're going to follow Jesus, he says, you have to deny yourself. You have to say no to everything that naturally is of great value to you. Jesus puts flesh and bones on this command to deny yourself the last time the words "follow me" are found in Matthew's gospel, in Matthew chapter 19. A rich young man comes to Jesus and says, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" And Jesus pointed him to the commandments, and the rich young man said, "All these things I have kept. What do I still lack?" "If you want to be perfect," Jesus said, "go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." Wow. With these words, Jesus is revealing the darkest place in the world. And that's my heart and your heart. Because he says, "Follow me." And if you follow me, that means that you value me and your relationship with me more than anything else in the world. That Jesus and your relationship to him is more important than the car that you came in today, more important than the house that you live in, more important than the friends and family that you're sitting around, more important than your 401k, more important than your reputation. Jesus says, if you want to follow me, everything else needs to become unimportant to you. And the only thing that really matters in your life is Jesus. It's no wonder that Jesus continued the same message of John the Baptist. Matthew says that Jesus' message could be summarized with these simple words: "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." If you and I want to follow Jesus, the place to start is right here, on our knees. And we step into this incredibly dark place called our own sinful heart. And we confess to Jesus the things that so often are more important to us than him. The things that we dream of more than him. We come on our knees into this dark place. And we repent. It just means, "Lord, I see it, and I'm sorry." But then he says, "The kingdom of heaven is near." And the great news is that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, has come to you. Now, what is the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God? The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 14 says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You know, Paul was writing to Christians who thought that the kingdom of God, their relationship to God, was all about rules. What day you worship on, what you should eat or drink. And if the kingdom of God is all about just more rules, then you and I have to be beaten down farther and farther and farther. But the kingdom of God is all about righteousness. That God reaches down and he takes us by the hand and he lifts us up and he says, you have a right to stand in the presence of the holy God. The kingdom of God is all about knowing what the Apostle John wrote in his first epistle when he said, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, but not only for ours, but also the sins of the whole world. You and I, in the kingdom of God, after freely admitting our sins, are lifted up by our God and said, the payment's been made. I look at you and see you as just absolutely perfect. You are right in my sight. And I'm glad you're standing here with me. The kingdom of God is about righteousness. It is about peace. It is this knowledge that we are at peace with God, and that we who have received God's peace want to share peace with others. Just as we have been forgiven, we want to forgive others. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We want others to experience the peace that we experience here in the kingdom. And the kingdom of God is about joy, isn't it? The joy of knowing that no matter what happens, we have a Savior who's walking along with us. The joy of knowing that He is the King of kings and Lord of lords and rules all things. So He rules my life, He rules the church, and He rules our nation, and I don't have to be afraid. And the joy of knowing that not even death can separate me from Him, and that I'm going to walk with Him for the rest of eternity. This is what the kingdom of heaven is all about. And when you and I have been lifted up from our knees, when He's lifted us up from that darkness and led us to see this light of the kingdom of God, then what Jesus said to the apostles resonates in our hearts and says, ask me too, ask me too. This is what happened that day on the Sea of Galilee. As Jesus was walking beside the sea, He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed Him. Going on from there, He saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed Him. When you understand the kingdom of God, when Jesus says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of people, fishers of men and women, it changes everything. Here am I. Send me. But how do we fish? If this is our purpose, where do we start? Could I suggest to you that the place to start fishing is right here, back on our knees again? Did you hear on the video how Brandon's wife fished for him? For a year, she was going to church without him. And remember how he said, I thank God for a praying wife. Do you have a family member? A friend? A coworker? A classmate? who doesn't know the righteousness, peace, and joy of the kingdom of God? I'm sure every one of us can think of a name right now. Let's start fishing for that person right here on our knees. We have a God who can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, don't we? So let's fish. Let's pray that God would do more than we could even imagine and work a miracle in that person's heart just as he did in ours. And then I suggest, let's fish in the boat. And by that, I think about our sanctuary. I love walking into our sanctuary because when you walk into our sanctuary, there's this beautiful ceiling. And it just reminds me of the ark that God commanded Noah to build. You see, God commanded Noah to build an ark because God knew that there was only death and destruction outside of the ark. And God commands us to build the ark of God's church. Because outside of God's church, there is only death and destruction. And the doors are still open. God hasn't closed the doors of the ark yet. So let's fish. And that's what our ministry here at St. Paul's and the Bridge is all about. It is all about fishing. Why are we involved in the community? To fish. Why do we want our school filled to the brim so that we have to start thinking, how do we have to build on? Because we want to fish. Why do we invite people to come onto our campus and use our facilities? Sometimes it makes us uncomfortable. Why? Because we want to fish. Why do we start daughter congregations? To fish. This is what our purpose is, as long as the doors of the ark are open, because we know here in the ark, in God's church, is where there is safety, safety in God's word, his promises of forgiveness, safety in baptism and the Lord's Supper, these marvelous ways that God hugs us to himself and says, I love you and I forgive you. The doors are open. Let's fish. We'll fish any way we can, everywhere we can. That's our purpose. And if we love God, we love the people who are outside, and we want them inside the ark and safe. But not just as a church, let's fish every one of us. I love our mission statement. Let's read it together. By every possible means, we bring every person within our area of influence closer to Christ. Every interaction that you have is a fishing hole, isn't it? You are a fisher for people. And so the interactions you have in your home, at work, even the interactions that you have with the clerk at the grocery store, that's part of fishing, isn't it? That somehow God would use that interaction to help people see the difference that Jesus makes in our lives and could make in their lives. Let's fish. One last thing. The gospel lesson ends with explaining where Jesus carried out his ministry. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the kingdom of the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria. And at the ministerial team, when we studied this, one of the guys mentioned, you know, think about Syria today, how dark that is. There's civil war there. Hundreds of thousands of people have died. That is a place of darkness. And there are Christians who are stepping into that place of darkness to bring the light of the gospel, because where it's the darkest is where the gospel is needed the most. And I would just ask you, where is the darkness that Jesus is inviting you to step into? You see, your experiences have prepared you to fish in a way that no one else can fish. That's what AA is all about. Recovering alcoholics recognizing that I'm going to step back into a place of darkness. I'm going to associate with people who are struggling because I've experienced that, and it's a good place for me to fish in that darkness to bring people into the light. That's what our support groups are all about. Grief support group, cancer support group, Alzheimer's support group. People who are stepping into the darkness that they lived in before, not to step back in and live there again, but to fish there because it's in the place of darkness that the light is most needed. And so I just ask each one of you, where is that place of darkness that you've experienced where you can step into that darkness and fish? Do you know where that is? If you don't, that's okay. Just pray for clarity, right? So let's do that right now. Lord Jesus, there are people on our hearts right now that we know that they're outside the ark, and we know what's going to happen to them. And some of us have been praying about these family members for eons, but we trust that you have the power to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. So, Lord, right now, there's a name on our hearts, each one of us. We're fishing for that person right now by this prayer. Draw them to you, Lord, to the righteousness, peace, and joy that we have in you. And Lord, we ask for clarity for every one of us and for us as a congregation. Help us to understand the places of darkness that you can allow us to step into and make a difference. Lord, it's all around us. Just open our eyes and help us see where you can use us as we follow you to be fishers of people. Amen. Thank you, everybody.